WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
Snowy, wintry mix in April? Get me somewhere warmer, please. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. I know many of us just came off of spring break, but I'm already thinking ahead to summer vacations. One of the best parts of traveling, aside from relaxing and seeing new sights, is trying new foods. The local specialties, the ingredients that are hard to find elsewhere. So I had to reminisce with a panel of foodies about the best meals that we've had while traveling and to get their advice on having the tastiest vacation possible. Ashok Selvam is editor for Eater Chicago. Andrea Guthman is a freelance travel writer for Photers and other outlets. And Sienna Greaves is a WBEZ audio producer. I started by asking Sienna to fill us in on what foods she can't stop thinking about from her recent trip to Paris.
I ate all the food, Sasha, really. You know, I was averaging walking about 8 to 10 miles a day and somehow managed to gain 5 pounds on this trip.
Oh my
so
gosh.
I was eating a little bit of everything. You know, Paris is an international city and there are so many different types of food. So I had my, you know, traditional French favorites. But this on this trip, I was also able to really indulge in some food from throughout that diaspora.
Mm.
West African food, some dishes from Cote d'Ivoire, Senegal, some Vietnamese food. It's a little different. Different than the offerings that we have here in Chicago. Some really great late night kebabs at some, you know, North African places. So yeah, I would probably say the most surprising thing that I had was a really simple dish, actually dessert. It was a Breton cake. It's made with French Breton butter. It's a beautiful, dense, crumbly cake. It's sort of a mix between shortbread and cake. And it's got this beautiful crumbly texture and the main ingredient is butter and it pairs absolutely wonderfully with a really nice cup of coffee.
Ooh, it
so
sounds
I ate
great.
Many of those.
Nice.
Many of those. Well, Ashok, let's turn to you. You recently went to New York. You ate at a Michelin star restaurant with your toddler and I'm hearing that made an impression on him.
Yeah, well, they just kind of saw him. They, you know, when you request a high chair at a Michelin star restaurant, you know, like they, there's like, you know, spider sense tingling danger. And they brought this dosa, which is like a South Indian, I hate to call it crepe because I know folks just hate when you compare one culture and use that as kind of the template to compare another one.
Yeah.
But instead of like the, kind of the traditional roll, they brought it. It was shaped like a cone.
Mm.
And like the presentation, like you saw, like people were like, I want to have what that kid's having. I was off it. And he just kind of lifted it up, looked at it, and took a bite from the very tip. And we recorded that because, you know, that's what you do now. You know, that's why we have, we buy the extra storage on your phones for
right.
to carry all that imagery. And we just, it's just something that we're just going to look with just fond memories over and over again.
Yeah.
It was really well executed. It had all the accoutrements, the potatoes, the chutneys, et cetera, et cetera. And I wish I could tell you with more detail what it tastes like, but it was really the magic of being somewhere else and sharing that moment with my sister, my brother-in-law, and my wife. And that's, I think, for me, that's what's the real important part of travel. It's not so much food, because that's my regular life right here as Eater Chicago is, you know, making small talk with chefs as they, you know, come in or, you know, you've been outed and, you know, folks just want to be really hospitable to you. You just want a meal.
Yeah. Well, Andrea, you are forever traveling. I love it so much. And you write some beautiful pieces when you return. But what's a recent delicious meal that you had while traveling that still sticks out?
Well, I just got back from Utah. That is not considered normally a foodie
a food
paradise.
Town.
So I am going to the most memorable meal we had there, we were visiting national parks, was not because of the chef, but because of the scenery. And that's also an important part of travel, right? Yeah. It's about having a change of scenery. Mm-hmm. So we ate at the highest restaurant in Utah, and that had, you know, it had nothing to do with the food. We didn't go skiing there, but we went to Snowbird Ski Resort. We took the tram up. Mm-hmm. We had a $12 sandwich and spent about 2 hours just in awe of the mountains, the surrounding mountains. And there were, you know, floor-to-ceiling glass, and it was just gorgeous.
Oh, my gosh, that sounds incredible.
Yeah, and sometimes that's what a meal is also about. It's
absolutely
just about the scenery.
Well, my most memorable meal was much lower to the ground. I was in Jamaica, and yes, I'm cheating because that's where I'm from, but it was one of the years that I went back on vacation, and I was on the North Coast, which is not where I'm from. I was in an area called Ocho Rios, and I had jerk chicken on the side of the road. Anybody who's been to the Caribbean knows, and who's been to sort of, you know, off the resorts, knows that there's something about when you get jerk chicken made, you know, right there from the drum. It's one of those moments you pull over the car and you get out and you pay for it immediately. It's hot, it's perfect, seasoned just right, wrapped in foil, and just yum.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
You've got this system, Andrea, for thinking through the kinds of culinary experiences that you and your readers might want while on vacation. Describe that for us.
I split it up into threes with 1 or 2 reservations. So those are splurge meals that you plan out. As soon as you know that you're going, you make that reservation months in advance. And then I like to think of the rest as spontaneous. Mm-hmm. And then 1 or 2 meals, or maybe it's just a drink and appetizers or a glass of wine that are just for the scenery, which I think is important too.
Yeah. You take food tours at the beginning of your trip too.
I love doing that.
That's a great idea.
When I was in Puerto Vallarta, we did a taco, like a street stand taqueria tour, mm-hmm. just a walking tour, but I've done them other places too. And I like to do that at the start of the trip. So you take a food tour right away. And not only, you know, you're tasting all these different foods, you have time to go back to 1 or 2 of your favorites.
Yes.
And the guides are generally, I mean, they're friendly, yeah. and they love food. So they're a great resource. So you tell them whatever you're looking for. I want a romantic restaurant. I want a waterfront restaurant. What do you recommend? Mm. Or I need, you know, someplace I can get a reservation for 10 people to celebrate grandpa's birthday.
Right.
And they know exactly where to go.
Oh, that's perfect. That's a great idea. You're also super organized, Sienna, when you travel.
There is a Google Doc. Absolutely.
Not a Google Doc.
A very long Google Doc. Yeah. That I start, you know, months
to plan your meals and the restaurants.
My meals, my restaurants, and, you know, use resources like Instagram. You do have to be a little careful, though. There are some, you know, very Instagrammable restaurants that, you know, the quality isn't so great.
There are a lot of those.
I think Pink Mama is one that we see on Instagram a lot. They have that, you know.
Where's Pink Mama?
Pink Mama is in Paris. I know they definitely have a few locations in Paris that, you know, they have, you know, very interesting and elaborate dishes that look really good, but
the
reality is a little different. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the taste, but it's now become it's a tourist trap. Mm. So the service is not that great.
Right.
They're pushing you out. It's, you know, people go there to take photos. But just piggybacking on what Andrea said, I absolutely agree. Small walking tours are the best way to go. I go with a woman named Yannick. Her group is called My Parisian Life. You want to find a tour group where you're able to talk to the tour guide before you get there. Yeah. You can really customize your experience to what you like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's a great mm-hmm. tip. Now, Ashok, you're doing things differently. You spend your time for work, you know, doing a ton of research ahead and interviewing, as you said, chefs, etc. But when you go on trips, you're Mr. Wing It.
I do not want to see a Google sheet. That is like my arch nemesis. Folks, like go ahead and do that. That's your thing. I don't need that organization. You know, like, obviously I'm going to be a company man and you go to a city with an eater. That's a great resource. I'm a little apprehensive of some stuff on Instagram because you never know who's on the take.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have to be really careful.
I'm apprehensive with places here in Chicago on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole scandal. You know, that's for another time, another discussion. I kind of go break things down into like themes, like types of foods that I would like to try. You know, I'll make one or two reservations. Again, traveling with a toddler, that's just a roll of the dice.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be really careful about that. And, you know, I just want to have kind of let a trip be defined by the people, by the sites.
Yes.
I like having like a restaurant control me. That seems a little too much like the folks that were depicted in that movie, The Chef. I don't want to be one of them. And despite that. But here's a pro tip that I take is I pack snacks. Pack like a protein bar because you don't want to be, you're tired, something goes awry. Have that, pop that out so you don't ruin your future meal by like taking some sort of tourist trap. You see, it's like the vending machine at the office. You're tired. You're like, okay, I'll go for those Cool Ranch Doritos. They're delicious, but then they spoil your lunch.
Yeah.
I would also say that you're absolutely right. And I think one way to avoid tourist traps is maybe not staying in the city center when you travel.
Yeah.
You know, people go to Paris, they stay in the first, they like to stay near the Eiffel Tower and all these big. I prefer to stay in the 11th, 12th, 13th arrondissement, sort of where the locals live.
Yeah.
And
you actually got some more affordable food in Paris
absolutely.
That way too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was able to dine with friends and spend maybe 60 euros for a 2-course meal, bottle of wine. I mean, it's way more affordable.
That is great.
Getting off the resort, like I went to a convention in Houston. I said goodbye to my group and I got this tandoori fried chicken from this place called Himalaya. And boy, was it worth it. I was eating by myself and I couldn't have a bigger smile.
So Andrea, we got to talk about what can be a logistical nightmare. Group decision making around where to eat and that enemy of clear thinking when you're hangry.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you are traveling with a group, I think that you got to identify maybe who's going to do the scouting in the neighborhood. I think that you can't walk around with a large group of people and try to get, you know, your name put in somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think that you need to have a couple of adults, leave the kids hopefully with somebody else, you know, if there's anybody else
in
the group. Couple of adults who are happy to stroll around. And when you see a restaurant that's bustling, tables are filled, you put your name in, it looks inviting, find out how long it's going to take and you let the rest of the group know. Because if you take a whole group out and you start wandering around to see where you might be able to get into a restaurant before you know it, you're going to be surrendering to, all right, let's just get a burger. We're done.
That's happened. Lose friends.
Yeah. That is definitely happening.
Especially if there's kids.
What are we doing for dinner conversation on the road?
Especially if there's kids around, you're just going to give up.
If you're with my mom, she's the most indecisive person ever. We would never eat. And I know she's listening right now and like holding her fist up in the air at me for saying that. But 2 minutes left. Let's find out from all of you. I mean, how do you hold on to the memories of the food that you eat and the meals that you share during your travels when you get back and reality sets in, you're home? Andrea, you first.
When I go to a hotel, if it's a small hotel, for sure they're going to do it. You know, even larger hotels might let you take a cooking class. But when we were in Colombia, we stayed at a place that had maybe 5 rooms. And the kitchen staff taught us how to make arepas, which are this cornmeal corn cake. You know, ask people. They're in the hospitality industry.
Ask for the recipe.
They want to make you happy. They feel proud of the fact that you like their food. And now my daughter and I make arepas at home.
I love that. Are you making food at home now from Paris?
I am. You know, Chicago has some great offerings as far as smoked fish. And one of my favorite things in Paris is a beautiful smoked herring salad with potatoes. And it's a couple ingredients.
Incredible.
You know, boiled potatoes, smoked herring, onion, easy vinaigrette, glass of Chablis. So I am very much looking forward to
bring us home,
that.
Ashok. What are you making that
well,
you got
it's what
overseas?
I'm avoid making more like that. So I went to Seattle last August, and there's the Taylor Oyster Farm, which is a couple hours away. That spoiled oysters for me. So if I see oysters on a menu, I avoid them because I have such a strong memory of the perfectness of of the scenery, of the just fresh out of the water. I don't want to spoil that.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That's Ashok Selvam, who's editor at Eater Chicago. We also were speaking with Andrea Guthman, who's a freelance travel writer, and Sienna Greaves, who's a WBEZ audio producer. Thank you all. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Linnea Dominic and edited by Meha Ahmed. To hear more conversations about food, head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Talk to you tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.